Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise like a person who builds a house on solid rock. We can hear, Lord, that your word is amazing. It has much for us. Open our hearts even more to receive what you have for us. Peter wrote, "You must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God." "Does not my word burn like fire," says the Lord? "Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces?" The teaching of your word gives light, so even the simple can understand. Jesus said,
"Anyone who hears my words
and does something about them
is like a wise man
who built
his house
upon
a rock."
A rock.
Rockety rock rock.
Rock rock.
Who's there?
A wise man building his house upon a rock.
Rock on, baby.
He built slowly and carefully.
Steadily and firmly.
First the foundations.
Then more foundations.
Then more foundations.
And finally, he built himself
a cave.
So we sacked him.
And got ourselves a new wise man.
Who built slowly and carefully.
Steadily and firmly.
Meanwhile, back on the beach,
there was a foolish man.
Hello.
He was like a person,
but he wasn't, in fact.
So we sacked him.
And got ourselves a new foolish man.
He was like a person who hears what Jesus says and
nothing about it.
But he had plenty of ideas about building.
A lot of know-how.
Plenty of experience.
Many kinds of experience.
He was open-minded.
Broad-minded.
Clear-sighted.
Hard-headed.
But not hard up.
He had a finger in every pie.
And a head in every pudding.
And so he built his house upon the sand.
Because it was nearest.
And planned to rent it out.
To a fat prophet.
Planned to rent it out at a fat prophet.
So there they were.
The wise men.
And the foolish men.
Building their houses.
One on the rock.
And the other on the sand.
And then
it started
raining.
And the rain came down.
And the floods came up.
And the rain came down.
And the floods came up.
And the rain came down.
And the rain came up and fooled everybody.
Including the foolish man.
Who was pretty fooled anyway.
And so it went on.
And on.
And on.
And on.
And on.
Raining. Gurgle, 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 gurgle.
And a strong wind blew up. Bang!
So we had to get another one.
And it blew.
And it blew.
And it yellow.
And it blew. Whoosh.
And the house on the sand fell.
Flat, crash, bang.
Pity.
Oh dear.
Tinkle, smash.
Because it had no foundation.
and the foolish men drown.
But the wise man
stepped out of his house,
which hadn't budged an inch,
and made himself
a cup of tea
with two sugars
on the rock.
Going to get tight in my face. I'm Wayne, if you don't know me. Wayne, I'm the pastor here at Brindabella. Today is a different day, and isn't that great that we're doing something different? I'm sure the Lord will bless us. If you're new, welcome. If you're not new, hi. It's good to see you. Couple of things. Last week, you know what I'm going to do? I'm actually going to get a video of my face, and I'm going to say the announcements up there so everyone looks above my head. We're going to have to change that. Just to tell you that last week we prayed for and sort of said goodbye to our current leadership, and we put some new leadership in. Out in the foyer are some journals for people to sign, if you haven't done that already, for the past leadership team. Just to kind of hand on to those guys. For those that don't know, if you weren't at the meeting last week and you haven't read your emails, just to let you know just who the new leadership team are, and for those that are here, I'll get them to stand up. As elders, we voted in Dave Silberman. Stand, Dave, yep. David Wakeling. David's sick today. And Paul Bainton. So they're our elders. If you haven't met them, congratulate them later. You guys can sit. As treasurer, Keith Smith. Thanks, Keith. In charge of worship, we have Rowan Geddes. There's Rowan here. Rowan's there. Operations manager, Bruce Green, is standing up already. He's already operating. Outreach and mission, Rick Wade. Youth, Igor Bogomol, although that was a staff position and that's how it works, and pastoral care, Brigitte. Now, if I've done anything crazy and forgotten anyone, can you please beat me up later? Or you can beat me up now if you want, but I don't think I have I? That's good. Okay. apart from that, there's only a couple of other announcements. Kids Hope Oz training went really well yesterday. We had seven people from the Lutheran Church there, and that was really exciting to kind of be able to train people from another church for Kids Hope Oz. We had a couple of people from our own church there, so it's just really good. Last Tuesday night, and I didn't actually announce it last week, I forgot to, but last Tuesday night we actually had a Meet the Mentors night, where our mentors got to meet with the families and the children. Again, same as last time, you know, people that wouldn't be seen dead in a church, sitting there having real conversations with Christians. You know, we had all sorts of great conversations. You know, Roz is going to go to somebody's wedding in a few weeks. And, you know, it's just, anyway, you ask us about it. It was very, very special and God went before us. So that was really great.
If the kids would like to come out the front and sit down, something interesting might happen. Then again, it might not, I don't know. All right. Who can tell me what this is? What is it? It's a Dr. Seuss book. Who likes Dr. Seuss books? Me too. What do you do with a book? Read it. Or who can't read? What do you do with a book? What do you do?
I look at the pictures and I look at the pictures and make up my own stories.
Great. Who here gets mum or dad to read? Yeah.
Sometimes.
Who likes reading? Cool. Now, there's another book in here. Oh, Here it is. Who knows what this is? What is it? A Bible. It's a very old Bible, that one. We'll look at that later. What's the Bible? It's a place where you learn about God. But what is it? Like, what is it? A book. It is a book, isn't it? But it's not just a book. You know, in the Bible it says lots of things about the Bible. That's funny, isn't it? So in the Bible it says that the Word of God is a sword. Not a Meccano sword, usually. It's a sword that we can use to fight against Satan's lies. So, who'd like to hold the sword? That's a dangerous question. Would you like... I can't see who had a hand up. Oh, yes, you can hold the sword for me because I trust you with it. Come and stand up here. There you are, gorgeous. You hold the sword. Now, what else is it? It is God's list of things to do. Who'd like to hold God's list of things to do? Lauren. It's his promises. His promises to us. Now, I haven't actually written any on there, but there are lots of promises in the Bible of things that God is going to do for us and to us and in us and through us. What else is the Bible? Oh, who's alive? Oh, come on. Everyone there is dead. Okay. The Bible is alive and powerful. Show us your muscles. Yeah, right. Alive and powerful. It's also, I know it's in German. What is this? Yeah, I know you know, Josh. What's this, Joshy? It's a first aid kit because God's word, the Bible, is a lifesaver. And I didn't have any lifesavers, so I had to use a first aid kit. It's also an instruction book, not for the mini component system. Would you like to hold the instruction book? It's the instruction book for our lives. Do you want to go and stand next to Josh? It's also where we find happiness. I think Becky better hold Mr. Happy because he's falling apart. Yes. There's a verse that says that, and now I've forgotten where it is, but there's a verse that says the Bible is where we find happiness. It was probably read out earlier, actually. Now, it's also the equipment we need to get the job done. Do you want to hold the screwdriver for me, either of you? It's the equipment we need to get the job done. And it is... These are mustard seeds. It's a seed that's planted in our hearts, in the soil of our hearts. Do you want to hold that, Tabby? What else is it? Did you realise that the Bible was so many things? We haven't even finished yet. It's also messages. Do you want to hold the messages? Messages from God to you. It's also... I think I'll hold... Oh, Alex can hold this one. These are matches. It's not matches. One verse I read out earlier said, "Does not my word burn like fire?" Then it went on to say, "Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces?" Gee, what a surprise. So many people want to hold that one. Emily, do you want to hold the hammer? It's also a light to guide us. Oh dear, I don't have enough things for everybody. It's soap that cleanses our hearts. There you go. And I'm going to hold the last one. It lasts forever. This Bible is actually 100 years old. It was given to my great-grandfather 100 years ago. Now, this Bible's not going to last forever, is it? Because it's getting old already. But God's words are going to last forever and ever. So God's word, the Bible, isn't just a book. It's all these things. in our hearts and our lives. Now, do you want to put those things back in the box, and then we're just going to pray for you before you go out to kids' club. Cue teachers. Nope. So let's pop them all back and then we'll just pray. Did I get it all back? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that your word is a light to our path and all those other things. And as these beautiful children go out to learn more from your word now, we ask that you would open their hearts to hear what you have to say to them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to count down from 10, and that's how long the teachers get to the door. You ready? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
On target, and we speed together today on target. Target and youth to go out together with Igor.
On target and youth, can you all go out with Igor, please? On target, go with Igor, with the youth. Thank you. Now, while they disappear, turn to the person next to you and tell them what your favourite book is. What's your favourite book? Yeah, all right, the Bible, ha ha. Sure it is. All right. You can stop now. Now Dave's going to come out the front and we're going to do tag team with Phoebe. Dave's going to share with us how the Bible has impacted on his life and give us a bit of a testimony.
I grew up in a Christian home where for most of my life my dad was a minister in an Anglican church. So the Bible was very important to my family. I grew up with lots of Bible stories that I heard as a kid that my parents would read to me and that I would read to myself. Little arch books, if you've ever seen them, where every page rhymes beautifully. And I loved these Bible stories. They were great. But the Bible puzzled me. I was a kid who had really black and white thinking. Yes, no, right, wrong. None of this vagaries in between business. I wanted everything to be absolute. I wanted the Bible to be a maths textbook where you go to the back and there are all the answers. I wanted it to be a physics book so that I knew exactly how things worked. And I wanted it to be so black and white, so precise, so that I could get the answer right at Sunday school whenever they asked a question. And it wasn't. It wasn't. It was much harder to understand than that for me as a kid. And I thought the Bible was about being good. So because the Bible was about being good, I tried to be as good as I could possibly be. And when I became a teenager, I still longed for the Bible to be a physics textbook. I still wanted the Bible to have the answers, to explain to me how the creation happened and why, and to help me understand exactly what God was doing now. And I had enough wisdom to know that the Bible wasn't a physics textbook, but I didn't know what it was. I couldn't figure it out. To me, it just seemed like one massive jigsaw puzzle, a whole stack of pieces, and I, for the life of me, just couldn't fit it together. I loved reading the Bible because when I read the Bible, I could find gems of truth, little bits of truth that I could hang on to, that were encouraging, that were good, and sort of made sense to me. And I got excited about these gems of truth, and I used to share them with other people. And the answers I got were that I hadn't fully appreciated the context or that I hadn't interpreted it correctly. And so I didn't like going to Bible studies. It was a bit disheartening to share these gems of truth when the answers I was getting back were just that I'd got it wrong. In my 20s, when I met Heidi, Heidi took me to a really fantastic Bible study where I found that I could share these little gems of truth that I'd found. And the other people in the group really listened and they responded positively and I didn't get negative answers. And they were able to share the gems of truth that they had too. And it was really encouraging, but I didn't understand the Bible. It still looked like a massive jigsaw puzzle, a whole stack of bits that just didn't fit together. And Heidi and I got married and left that Bible study and moved across Canberra and went to another church. And about then, my thinking about the Bible got into some dangerous territory. My friends and I started thinking that the Bible was inspired by God, but altered by the people who'd written it down. So God was in it, but people had changed it. And these people who wrote down the Bible lived 2,000 plus years ago, so their thinking was very primitive. We've come a long way in 2,000 years, was what I thought. We've advanced a lot. Our modern, postmodern thinking is so much greater than theirs. And so we have to correct their poor thinking with our new thinking and pick out the gems that really was what God wanted in there in the first place. Made sense to me. Finally, the Bible, to me, was a huge jigsaw puzzle because people had fiddled with it and there were still gems of truth in there that I could get out, and if I dug hard enough, I could find some God bits. And I was excited about my new understanding, and I got really involved in lots of ministries, and all of us were so excited about what God was going to do. Look at all this stuff God's going to do in these ministries that we're involved in. But God didn't seem to show up. God didn't seem to be quite as excited about all these ministries that I was involved in as I was. God didn't seem to be doing anything, and my friends and I started being horrible to each other and hating each other, and all the ministries fell apart. And so I got to the end of my 20s, crushed. I was really heartbroken, and I was demanding God an answer. Why? Why had everything fallen apart, God? It's not fair, God. We put all this effort in for you and it all fell apart. And God made very, very, very clear to me through lots of different ways that I needed to start taking the Bible seriously and stop treating it the way I had been treating it. So I asked my parents to give me a book that they thought would help me understand the Bible, make sense of the Bible. And they gave me a book on systematic theology, which for me was very helpful. Slowly and wonderfully, reading the Bible with the help of this other book, the Bible started to become clear like it had never been before. Firstly, I looked at the lives of the people who had written down the words in the Bible. These people were not primitive. They were giants. They were amazing people of God. They were people of God who achieved stuff for God and lived lives for God that are so much greater than I will ever be. So from a purely human perspective, where it's worth paying attention to someone great, it was worth reading these words in the Bible like they were written by someone who really knew what they were talking about. So I had so much greater respect for what was in the Bible because I understood how great the authors were. And then I discovered that the writers of the Bible claimed that the whole Bible is God's words, written down accurately to be accepted as God's holy words and acted upon. The Bible demands of itself that it is God's words, God's whole words, not fiddled by people, but what God wanted written down, what God has said, God's truth. This was hard to accept. I struggled with that. I really thought I still knew better. For the Bible to be right all the time, that was hard. But I struggled with it and I worked it through and I still struggle with it sometimes. But the more I accepted that the Bible in its entirety is God's almighty words, accurate and true, the more important and the more wonderful the Bible became to me. And thirdly, I discovered the power of God's Holy Spirit in the Bible. God's Holy Spirit inspired the Bible. God's Holy Spirit made sure that what was in the Bible was what God wanted in the Bible, that it wasn't fiddled with, it was the truth. God's Holy Spirit inspired the writers, these great men of God, to write down what it was God wanted. And the Holy Spirit explains it to me. And the Holy Spirit started explaining the Bible to me like never before. When I invited the Holy Spirit to help me understand the words that he had written down, all of a sudden they started to make sense. When David Silberman read the Bible, trying to understand it using David Silberman's brain, David Silberman got terribly confused. But when the Holy Spirit, who ordered those words to be written down, explained them to me, all of a sudden the jigsaw puzzle started to come together. And not only that, the encouragement that I found in the Bible that the Holy Spirit helps me to put it into practice. I can try and be good all I want, but I can't do it without the infinite power of the Holy Spirit helping me put into practice what the Holy Spirit has written down and then explained to me when I pick up the Bible and read it. So I love the Bible now. The Bible is fantastic. The Bible is the best book ever. The more I read the Bible, the more the Holy Spirit helps me understand the Bible. And the more the Holy Spirit helps me understand the Bible, the more the Holy Spirit helps me to put the Bible into practice. Now, I have setbacks, many setbacks daily, where I look at my life and it doesn't reflect what's in the Bible. It doesn't reflect the marvelous things that the Holy Spirit has shown me. But the more I focus on the Bible, the more I, with the power of the Holy Spirit, understand it and put it into practice, the more steps I take in the right direction and the fewer steps I take in the wrong direction.
We're going to spend some time looking in the Bible now. A minister I used to have used to turn up to church and say, "Who's come to church naked today?" Which meant, who didn't bring their Bible? First time he said it, there were some horrified faces, but lots more people brought their Bibles the next week. But if you didn't bring your Bible, that's okay, because we're going to have a box of Bibles that you can grab one. We are going to. By the time I finish talking, there will be a box of Bibles there to grab a Bible from. And we're going to just spend 5 minutes with a nice CD playing, opening up the Bible and looking at what God is saying to you right now. Just open up and read and see what God is saying. If you've never opened a Bible before, fantastic. Today's the day. I suggest you start about 3/4 of the way through. Makes it a bit easier. But doesn't matter where you open, God will speak to you. Kids will make noise, as has been evidenced, and that's okay. So let's just spend 5 minutes opening God's word and looking at what he's saying to us right now. Then we're going to get into some small groups and just share, if you feel like it, or just listen if you'd rather, what God has said to you this morning. Grab a Bible and read. I'd just like to give anyone the opportunity, if they'd like to share for 1 to 2 minutes. You will be timed. At the front, if you'd like to share something that God has said to you this morning with the rest of us, you're welcome to take that opportunity. Anyone? You don't have to. No one's leaping up to the microphones. Your final chance. Leaping.
Interesting thing this morning was that when Robin opened up the word, it came out at Proverbs chapter 30, and my eye got straight to verse 5, which says, "Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him," etc. And I thought, how often is it that when we are thinking about something or somebody is saying something, we open up the word and it's just reinforced?
Thank you. Thanks, David. I brought lots of Bibles this morning, but they were all being used except my 100-year-old King James Version, which I read all the time. So I opened it up, and I found a piece of paper which I've never found before. Actually, I found two. They were written on in 1913. This one... I'm presuming it was my great-grandfather who wrote them, and I never knew him, of course. But obviously the word meant a lot to him, which I never knew either. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Galatians 6, verse 10. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." And even with the odd words, I think pretty much most people would know that's 1 Corinthians 13. And it just showed me that for a very long time, God's word has meant life and power and truth to its readers. Trish is going to share with us musically.
Just in case you hadn't noticed, there's two tables at the front here, and there's one on your left with a family Bible in its beautiful new box, all shiny and clean and never opened, and on top of it are stacked magazines and newspapers. And for a time in my life, that's where what my Bible looked like, actually. And it was on the bottom of the stack instead of the top. And on the other table, there's a most beautiful cloth and a beautiful open Bible, and the image I see there of the flowering, blossoming roses, fresh and new and just inviting, just speak to me of how much life there is in the Word of God. And I've been just recently I guess in the last couple of years, been challenged by the Bible study that I'm in too, that there is so much depth in the Word of God that we're just unaware of until we open our hearts and let the words impart their special message to us. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, oh, let the ancient words guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing you. So let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, come to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the ancient words of Christ. Ancient words, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. So come with an open heart and let the ancient words impart.
We're going to take up the offering now. Something's missing. Usually we say, in the next song. It's all right, we will have a song. As the offering bags go around, remember the truth and the promise that God blesses those who give. If you're visiting here, don't feel obliged to give, but know that God blesses a giving heart, and that is one of the many promises in his word.
Life to me.
Lord, we thank you for this money that has been given both today and during the weeks where people have given it electronically. We thank you that this money will be used to build your kingdom, in Jesus' name. We come to the end of our service, and over here we have morning tea, and over here we have the prayer room, or you can just stay in the middle and chat. And to finish, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and it's still true for us today. We never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. Father, we believe that as we go out into the world this week, your word is working in us. Thank you for this truth. May we hold on to it and trust you as your word works in us. Amen.